SifPop Podcast is recorded in front of a live internet audience.
Live from a bunker in the heart of the Ozarks. The one place where getting in summer shape means doubling down on the popcorn, pop rocks, and soda pop. It's SifPop.
You're going to get body and movie shamed in one episode.
That's right. Welcome to SifPop, streaming live on Mixlr every Friday afternoon or available to download later in your podcast feed. Unless, of course, you're a patron.
Patrons get perks!
Patrons get those perks. I'm Aaron Dicer from YourMovieFriend.com. I'm joined by Andrew Ormsby from Flick Freaks.
Ahoy!
Every week we'll be joined by a pop culture guru to chat about movies, television, and whatever else from the pop culture universe is on our minds. And joining us today, it's Devon Taylor, a.k.a. Deezus12 on Twitter.
Woo! Yo, 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 what up? It's your boy Deezus here. I am super excited to talk some summer movies.
I'm super excited to have you back.
It's a blast and a half every time you're on.
Time number four, appearance number four for Deezus?
Appearance number four, and I mentioned on Twitter, this is my first one since my epic second half meltdown of the Oscars pool. Man. Good times.
You had that all wrapped up, man.
I put on a great performance in the first half, just like the Atlanta Falcons, and then it fell apart for me. But
you pulled
the
Matt Ryan.
I will say I was happy about it, though, because like, when I did the pool, I made my choices on like, you know, what I thought would win, not exactly what I wanted.
Mm-hmm.
But there were some genuine surprises this year, so... You know, I came away with, like, what, third place? Tied for third? So.
Third, yeah.
Yeah, something
I'll
like
take
that.
It.
Well, if you pulled a Matt Ryan, then that means that Aaron pulled a Tom Brady because he came out of nowhere to win it. So.
Oh, yeah.
Well, thank you. Thank you. I think there were, what, five of us tied at first or something? Four. Maybe four of us tied at first place. So
five total with you is what it was.
It's appropriate. That's right. There were four others that had the same score. It's appropriate, then, that you're back on an episode where we're going to launch another Twitter contest. So we'll talk about that in a little bit.
First, second, and third place, all sitting here.
That's right. That's right. So we'll get to that in a little bit. I did want to say, with summer blockbuster season being here, Andrew, you had mentioned something in the pre-show, which you can listen to, by the way, if you're a patron of the show, about my not watching movie trailers and how that impacts like a summer movie preview and how we're different in that way because you've seen everything and I've seen nothing.
Besides
and,
Diary of a Wimpy Kid.
That's right. I accidentally we're gonna turn the tables. The Diary of a Wimpy Kid. I've been getting a lot of people on Twitter that are like jumping on the hashtag zero frames that are like, you know, I want to try this out. I want to see if it, you know, how it impacts things. Andrew, obviously, it's not something you can ever do.
More frames for me.
Your livelihood kind of depends on it. Where do you stand on the whole, like, no trailers thing?
You kind of swayed me. Like, it was after meeting you that I started watching less trailers. Like, I still don't watch none of them.
Right.
Like, but whenever I go to the theaters, I totally skip the previews altogether. My parents made fun of me. We went to a movie at Christmas, and I walked out.
Nice.
This was like during Oscar season, so I really didn't want spoiled. So I left the theater, and they're like, "What are you doing?" I was like, "I'm not watching the previews. I'm gonna go play some games or something." Okay, leave me alone. But I only watch previews of. I mean, I watch like the Marvel ones because I don't think those.
Did you watch the new Star Wars one?
Yes, I watched the new Star Wars one. Like I watch ones that I don't care that if I'm gonna go one way or the other. But I watch about maybe 30% of previews. I don't watch a whole bunch.
I felt like this was a good time since we were kind of talking about this. I haven't given the Zero Frames pledge in a while, and I think, you know, there may be new members of the Zero Frames community who want to take the pledge, so I think we should do that.
Go for it.
Here is the Zero Frames pledge. Repeat after me. Put your right hand in the air if you would like to join. I, insert your name, commit to seeing each movie in its purest storytelling form, not allowing a single moment of the story to be seen out of story context through trailers or early scene releases. As much as it is within my ability, I will see every frame of every movie for the first time as a completed work. We now recite the hashtag zero frame motto. The story just won't be the same if you've seen a single frame, so zero frame becomes our goal to see the film complete and whole. All right, Andrew, you can come back now. Was that a sit-in?
That was my Kaepernick right there.
That was your protest.
Yeah.
Nice. No, it's a fun thing, and I'm glad we're kind of getting some heat on Twitter on it. It's you know, it makes me happy that people are at least thinking about it. You know, there's something about thinking about seeing a movie that you've never experienced anything in it, and you just get to be told a story that I think is kind of interesting. I was listening to a podcast recently. That's how Hitchcock promoted Psycho. Did you know this? didn't show a single frame of the movie of Psycho before it came out.
It was him talking. He was talking about the movie.
I did not
Wasn't he standing in the motel?
Yeah,
talking
like he did like a set. Yeah, he did like a set where he would like tour the set. And
yeah. Mm-hmm.
So those were the previews for the movie. I think that's so cool. And then the entire movie just gets to be an experience. I think so. I think it'd be fun. Andrew, no, not so much.
Pass. Give me them frames.
What's the best trailer you've seen recently?
That's a cool trailer.
It's a cool trailer. Like the way they did it, like the shot by shot of the original,
like freaked me out. And because okay, so we can really quick talk about this. As a kid, the miniseries on TV scared the crap out of me.
Yeah.
So ever since then, I've been afraid of clowns. So whenever I was watching this, I'm like, there's no way this is going to be as good as the Tim Curry It. This It looks phenomenal.
No, this looks amazing. Like, this is one of those movies that definitely needed a remake. And I'm, like, big in the horror community, and people have been blasting, like, you know, the images, and, like, people haven't liked the Pennywise design and stuff like that. Like, people have been blasting it. So, once the trailer dropped, like, all those people were silenced.
They shut up quick. They silenced
those people so fast.
But you're not a horror movie guy, Andrew.
No, but this is one of the most anticipated movies of the year now.
Is it?
It is.
Okay.
Because of this one single trailer. That was pretty
nice. They should name the sequel to It This.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just be a big Abbott and Costello routine.
Yeah, who's on first, what's on second, it's on third.
Yeah, exactly. We're going to have a fun show today. Like we said, we're doing summer movie preview stuff. We're going to introduce the Summer Sum contest, which people are already joining up for. 16 entries already on the contest. Oh, yeah. So,
I need to do it. So how many movies? I guess we'll talk about it
about that in a little bit. And of course, we'll do our buried treasure.
Mm-hmm.
And we will also give our 5 most anticipated movies of the summer with some bonus categories. But first, let's do some Do We Care?
Every single week, I scour the internet to find out what's going on in the entertainment world, to find out for you if anything cool is happening or not. And I pick the top 3 things that I find. Number 1, Edgar Wright. We all know and love him. Mm-hmm. Shaun of the Dead, Hot Fuzz, Scott Pilgrim, all those great movies. A couple years ago, he was going to be the director of Ant-Man, had some creative differences with Marvel.
Yeah, he had started into that process quite a ways, hadn't he?
He had, yeah. Yeah.
He's still credited for stuff, too, though, because they did like keep some of his stuff.
Mm-hmm. So, yep, they had creative differences. He did not get to make his giant bug movie until now. He is making an adaptation of the book Grasshopper Jungle, in which a group of young adults are going to be fighting giant praying mantises.
So we kind of get to see Edgar Wright's Ant-Man.
We'll get to see a version of, yeah. So I'm excited for this. He has, in a couple weeks, a movie called Baby Driver coming out. Mm-hmm. I think it looks really good.
That's on my list.
It's going to be a totally different tone for him. It's not a comedy, I don't think. So I'm excited to see, because you know me, I love Edgar Wright. I'll put my money towards anything he does. What do you guys think?
I definitely care. Edgar Wright is an incredible director. I always try to parse. See, I love Shaun of the Dead. I love Hot Fuzz. I love, what was the third in kind of that trilogy?
At World's End.
I may actually like At World's End more than most people. It may be my favorite of the three.
That's the only one I haven't seen.
It's not my favorite, but I do love it more than most people.
And I always parse if it's Edgar Wright I love or if it's Simon Pegg and Nick Frost. Like,
I think it's the trilogy.
I know it's all of them, but I like in my brain, I'm like, is Edgar Wright an amazing director or are these two just incredible?
No, he's
together?
An amazing director because I think Scott Pilgrim is a brilliant movie.
No, that's a great point.
It's a brilliant movie. It's in my top 100.
Scott Pilgrim's in my top 20. Actually, it's in my top 10. I haven't seen you guys since I had got one of my latest tattoos.
So did you get Scott Pilgrim tattoo?
I got a Ramona Flowers tattoo. So obviously I care. I love Edgar Wright, anything Edgar Wright. Baby Driver, I'll talk about that here in a bit.
Yeah.
But I'm super excited for anything that Edgar Wright puts out. Like, he's phenomenal. But yeah, so
that is now officially my favorite tattoo of yours. Have you seen this one? Yeah, that's Ramona Flowers.
Yeah. For those of you who can't see, I got the Ramona Doodle is what I call it.
Oh, it's so good. I love that.
What's up next?
Number 2, Will Smith is being considered to play the genie in the live action version of Aladdin.
Wow. The genie in live action Aladdin. I can't even picture it.
Because
how are they going to do that? Like, how
it can't be better than Robin Williams.
Well,
that's the greatest Disney character of all time.
I would assume motion capture would be the way, because they're going to make him a little bit bigger.
I'm wondering if he's just going to be human. Like, if he's just going to look like Will Smith.
I'd love for them to put him in makeup and some green genie makeup or something, but I think they'd go probably the motion capture route and, like, big him up, like, make him a little bit bigger.
Yeah.
He'll definitely be toned down. That's the whole thing with these live-action remakes, is they're much less cartoony. Like, you know, if you watch Beauty and the Beast, it's, you know, Gaston is still Gaston, but he's not, you know, popping belts with his neck and, you know, ricocheting spit off of three different walls. And, you know, they have to live it in the actual human world instead of kind of cartoons where you can do just about anything. So I think it'll be much more grounded, if that makes sense. And it'll be, mm-hmm. you know, more like, I think there may even be an element to it where it's like, is he really a genie? Like, is this real kind of thing? You know, like, I don't know. It could be interesting.
I like it. I think it's a great choice because, I mean, you have to have somebody. I mean, you got to have charisma. Like, you got the genie. That's like what boils down to. I mean, and Will Smith is practically living, breathing charisma.
Yeah, he's pure charisma.
In a skin suit. So, I mean, it's a good pick, but also it's different enough from Robin Williams that we'll definitely be able to separate the two of them. And hopefully, I mean, people are going to compare it to the Robin Williams one, but hopefully they'll kind of stand on their own places. So I'm down with this casting. I like it.
But we all know what really needs to happen. Just don't make this movie. Just don't make it. Don't make the movie. Number three, HBO to adapt Ray Bradbury's Fahrenheit 451, starring Michael Shannon and Michael B. Jordan.
Yes.
If you say Michael B. Jordan, I'm in. Like,
say Michael Shannon, I'm in. So.
I was like, I like both of them, but you say Michael Shannon, I'm in.
Just somebody named Michael, and I'm good.
Get Michael Douglas, get all of the Michaels in there. Mm-hmm. Michael Pitt.
Absolutely.
I'm going to stop there. Michael Pena. Oh, yeah.
I'm actually not extremely familiar with the Fahrenheit 451 stuff. So,
oh, really?
The actual material isn't what draws me in, but, you know, you name those actors, and I'm like, yeah, they would be fun to watch together.
And an HBO original. I don't think HBO originals have a track record that you can scoff at. I think they make great stuff.
True.
Yeah.
Especially, they had, what was the Michael Douglas, was it Candelabra? What was it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay, yeah. It was the...
Under the Candelabra?
Oh, that's what it is, yeah.
Something like,
it was
something the Candelabra.
It was the Liberace movie.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It was fascinating. It's so good.
I think you're leaving out the most important point of this. I mean, if you've seen pictures of Michael B. Jordan and Michael Shannon, they both are going to rock those firefighter mustaches.
Yeah.
I mean, they are going to have some epic firefighter mustaches.
I am waiting for Michael B. Jordan. I guess Creed would probably be the best example, but I'm really waiting for him to really step into the promise he showed in...
Fruitvale Station. Which I was just about to say, I rented and I'm going to watch it this weekend.
You haven't watched it yet?
I haven't watched it, but I rented it and I'm going to watch it this weekend.
I'm glad.
Enjoy, my friend.
It's a phenomenal film. So, he's done some big budget stuff, and the big budget stuff other than Creed seems to have failed him so far, but...
Yeah, Fantastic Four was not the best.
Is he in Black Panther?
Yes.
He's going to be
one of the villains in Black
Panther.
Yeah,
and that's the same director too, right? So...
Ryan Coogler, yep.
Yeah, Coogler.
I think anything that he's been in, whether the film, you know, regardless of the film quality, I don't think he's ever been the problem. Like, even with Fantastic,
Agreed.
I mean, that movie's a mess, but I don't think Michael B. Jordan's the problem there. He has a small comedy, That Awkward Moment, that's in my top 20 all time that I absolutely love. It's a little gem, and a lot of people don't like it, but I love that movie so much. So I'm a big Michael B. Jordan fan.
Very cool. I'm surprised you didn't mention my favorite news of the last few days. I'm actually not surprised. It's probably just me. X-Files is coming back again.
So. See, I didn't know if that was worth... Yeah, is it a full 12 or 10 episodes that they got for the second season now?
I don't know. Did they do like 6 the last time they came back?
Yeah.
It'll probably be something like that again. Where
and
they
I
do
think
another
the format
six.
Works, really.
Oh, absolutely.
I think the format's perfect for it.
You know, I admit on this show freely that I'm not the typical nerd culture geek that knows every little nuance of everything.
Except when it comes to
X-Files. Like, that's my maybe X-Files, Pixar, and maybe Hitchcock. Like those three things. Like I'm in the. Oh my goodness! I had a fully X-Files themed bedroom. So
I got something you would find fascinating, just real quick about X-Files. Did you know that there are lyrics to that song? Official lyrics, because it turns out whenever you write when you write a theme song for a television show, you can't get royalty from it if it doesn't have lyrics, like the musical artist.
Right, huh. Right.
So they will write lyrics for songs. They just won't put them in, but there are official lyrics for
it. It's probably something like, these are the X-Files.
That's exactly what it is. X-Files is for this show. Yeah.
It's like Bill Murray doing the Star Wars song or whatever. Star Wars.
No, he did Jurassic
Star
Park.
Star Wars.
Jeff Goldblum did Jurassic Park.
Did he?
Yeah.
I think it'd be cool to like put some like creepy like narration over the X-Files theme song, like of like some like alien theorist somewhere, like they're out there and it's just like it was weird monologue over it. I think that'd be real cool.
It was my favorite thing about the when they brought that show back. Is
they
that
kept it.
They kept perfect. The opening credits pretty much.
They even kept
the
it
same.
In 4.3, wasn't it? So yeah, it's still in 4.3.
Yeah. Love, love, love that show.
That's gonna wrap it up for Do We Care?
All right, let's move on to the summer movie preview, guys. This is going to be a summer. I was going to say it's going to be a great summer, but I don't know if
it's
going to
be summer.
Once I started digging deeper, I was like, man, these summer movies
one or two.
Let's hope for some surprises.
Yeah.
Here's what we're going to do. We are each going to name our top five anticipated movies of the summer, and then we have some special categories. I'll go ahead and tell you what those are. We'll each do a fingers crossed pick, which is a movie we hope is good, even though signs may not appear to be that way. Then we'll do one that we will probably love, but everybody else will probably hate, and one that everybody else will love that we will probably hate. So we'll get into those after we do our five most anticipated. Want to do it round robin? We'll just go around, start at number five, and work our way up to number one.
Yep, that works for me.
Let's go ahead and Trump then. If you've got a more highly anticipated than someone who mentions it, just say Trump, and we'll talk about it when it's at its highest peak.
Aaron, would you like to start?
Yeah, I'll start us off. My number five, this may be the biggest surprise of all 15 of our... my number five most anticipated summer movie, Baywatch. The Rock and Zac Efron are two people who I absolutely love. Like, when they are on screen, they are so charismatic, so great, and I cannot wait to see them together.
I planned on talking about them during the box office portion because think Baywatch is going to be a wild card for the summer. But I think Zac Efron's a comedic genius. Like, I think he's okay, maybe not comedic genius, but
he's
he
great,
has very
though.
Underrated comedic timing. Yeah. And The Rock wouldn't sign on to this like if it wasn't like you know going to be decent at least. Like, I think it's going to be real funny, real raunchy.
It
looks a lot like 21 Jump Street, and I love that series that with the Jonah Hill and Channing Tatum. I think they look. The chemistry that you saw between those two is what we're going to see between The Rock and Zac Efron.
I hope it's a little less meta than 21 Jump Street. Like, I know some of that's going to be there, but I hope they really craft something that has a little bit of substance to it. Mm-hmm. Even though it's going to be ridiculous and fun and funny, I don't know. There's something, if they can find a way to nuance something in there that actually means something or is, you know, more grounded, that would be pretty cool.
I'm going to say something that I normally bash movies for.
Yeah.
I hope to see some cameos in this movie. I want to see Hasselhoff.
See
I want to see Pam you know Anderson and Carmen Electra. Oh, if I don't see the Hoff, the movie's getting a C-minus no matter
how
what.
How many Baywatch people can you name? Like, was this like a show for you?
I think
wasn't
I can name three.
Because I knew Hasselhoff. I think I knew Pam Anderson was on
Carmen
there.
Carmen Electra.
Not that it matters, but it wasn't necessarily a show I watched. That's why I wondered if you guys, like, knew the show.
Yasmin no, Bleef.
I'm not super familiar with the show. I mean, I've you know caught reruns of it and stuff, mm-hmm. and it's whatever. But
slow
at the
motion
same time,
running
looks,
on the beach. We all know
this looks real funny. Like it looks real funny.
Seth Gordon is directing it. He's done some great stuff. I absolutely love that he's responsible for some of the greatest television. You know, he wrote on The Office and Modern Family, and he's responsible for Sneaky Pete. Which I don't know if you guys saw Sneaky Pete, but
oh, that's
I've been
the,
wanting
yeah, that,
to. That's the Giovanni
Amazon
Ribisi
series, right?
One, isn't
yeah.
it?
Yeah.
So I really enjoyed that. And, you know, even the movies he's done have been, for the most part, good. Horrible Bosses, thought was really good.
Horrible Bosses. Great.
So, yeah. And he actually, this is the one I didn't know before I looked it up. He directed The King of Kong, Fistful of Quarters, the documentary. My favorite documentary of all time.
Yeah, it's the old.
The Donkey Kong documentary. Yeah.
Yeah.
So. Yeah, I'm really interested to see what they can do. So that's my number five.
That's a great documentary. All right, Jesus, what do you have at number five?
My number five is it's kind of it's an indie pick, because I know summer movies are mainly about the bigger blockbuster movies, but I had to throw this movie in here just because it has a super interesting premise. It's called A Ghost Story. It's been premiering at film festivals right now and stuff like that. I'm hoping it might be a secret screening at the film festival I'm going to.
But, nice.
It comes out this summer in limited release, but it's Rooney Mara and Casey Affleck. And Casey Affleck is acting in a sheet. He's in a ghost sheet.
And it's this, eye holes?
That's what the poster is, at least. I haven't watched the trailer for it because I didn't want to spoil myself, but that's what the poster is. It's him in a sheet with holes in it.
It's the Great Pumpkin, Charlie Brown.
It's a creepy
Brown.
Love story. He's like the deceased husband of Rooney Mara, and then like the story continues after his death. So
that reminds me.
Seems interesting.
That reminds me of Elijah Wood? Was it Wilfred? Where his friend was a dog, he's just dressed in a dog costume.
Yeah,
all
yeah. Wilford.
That was on FX, I think. Yeah. That was a great, great show.
That sounds interesting, for sure.
Yeah, and it's A24. Somebody in the chat noticed. Yeah, it's A24 also. And They've
A24 been hitting it out of the park,
knocks out
man.
Of the park always, yeah.
They also have It Comes at Night coming out this year, too. And
Joel
that looks crazy
so good.
That looks really good.
Is that your number five, Andrew?
No.
All right, what's your number five?
My list has changed a little bit from whenever I made the YouTube video of my top 10 most anticipated. So coming up number five, we have Dunkirk.
Nice. I'm going to trump that.
I was going to say,
great choice.
I was going to imagine somebody would trump that one.
Yeah, I'll trump Dunkirk. All right, I'll go on to my number four. I'm pretty predictable from here on out.
Okay.
Number four is Spider-Man Homecoming for me.
Okay.
And nobody has that higher?
It was my number four.
So. Okay. Well, then we'll just talk about it here on this round.
Okay.
I am really excited to see, with Marvel's hands more in the Spider-Man, you know, creation, what they can do with this. And the fact that it's in the expanded universe now, my understanding is Tony Stark will feature prominently in it, which makes a lot of sense to bring somebody like that in. That excites me. I know for some people they don't like that, but I really am looking forward to seeing how well they can pull
that
off.
Yeah, that's the one thing that has me not as excited for it, is it's been too much Tony Stark and Robert Downey Jr. for me. Like, I think it's a smart...
Oh, in the previews?
In the previews, yeah, and that's, we differentiate, because I've seen the early previews. I haven't seen this most recent one, but...
Don't watch it.
Well, but it makes sense.
That's what I hear. I hear don't watch this recent one, but it makes sense.
It makes sense to put him in the previews, especially. If you're trying to sell this
movie
to people who love Iron Man and the Marvel movies, that's a great way to
do
it.
Which I'm hoping that's all it is. I hope that they're just trying to sell this movie a little bit more, because Spider-Man's my favorite superhero. This would be higher on my list, but it's just like, I'm kind of to a point where it's like, all right, this is the third Spider-Man. Like, can we hopefully just this be our definitive Spider-Man and move forward? Like, I mean, Tobey Maguire is still my guy, but I'm like, okay, like, let's hope this one lasts so we don't have to reboot this beloved superhero again.
I don't think it will.
Civil War, I think Tom Holland is my new Spider-Man.
I love Tom Holland in Civil War.
Too quick to call for me. After I see this movie, I'll make the call, but Toby's still my guy.
Totally understand that. I don't know. We give a lot of grace to like DC for, they reboot Batman whenever they want to. You know, how many times have they gone with a new Batman universe?
I think that's different, though. I kind of compare that to the way they do James Bond movies. It's like, Batman is just this cowl that can be put on by different actors and stuff. So Batman, I give a pass as far as like rebooting.
Yeah, but
why is that?
It's really the same thing, though, isn't it?
I think it's because we've been trained with Batman to expect recasting.
Yeah.
I don't think we're there yet with Spider-Man.
Right. Yes. Or any of the Marvel stuff. It's going to happen. They're going to recast some of these Iron Man will be recast eventually.
Oh, yeah. Eventually.
I mean, it will happen.
But yeah, I'm really excited.
Feel sorry for whoever that is. And one day they are going to have to recast Logan. Hugh Jackman's not doing it anymore.
Yeah.
They're going to have to recast Wolverine one day.
I have a whole nother rant on that for another podcast episode. Let's not.
Get Tom Hardy to be Wolverine. That's all I say.
Definitely not Tom Hardy.
I think Tom Hardy would make a great Wolverine.
Fight! 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 Definitely fight! Not Tom Claws Hardy. Out! Claws out!
Your number four, you said you had...
Number four was Spider-Man.
Both of our four was Spider-Man. Okay. So what do you got?
So my number four was War for the Planet of the Apes.
I'm going to have to trump you again.
That's fine.
Andrew, I'm so sorry, man.
That's okay.
I'm putting stuff above you.
You can only do it one more time.
That's right. No, actually, I would have no more to do, because is my number three. My number three is, and my number three will probably get trumped. My number three is actually Guardians 2.
It is my number three. So
that's my number two.
Then you trumped me.
Hold that.
We'll hold off till you. So what do you got at number three?
My number three is Atomic Blonde, the new Charlize Theron
movie. That looks really good.
Man, okay, so you got it's from David Leitch. I don't know how to say his name properly, but that was one of the directors of John Wick 1. And the other director did John Wick 2. So this is David Leitch's time to shine for Atomic Blonde. And
Charlize?
Is that it? It's Charlize Theron. This looks amazing. It features the same gun-fu type fighting style. But it's another interesting spy movie. You got James McAvoy and John Goodman in it. So it's interesting cast. The trailers for it were fantastic. Like they play out kind of like music videos, which doesn't always work, but it really works for this one. And Charlize Theron is great. She's freaking kicking a lot of butt in it. It's gonna be real fun.
Very cool.
I'm excited for that one.
All right, Andrew, what do you got at number three?
Number three, I had Guardians.
So that's been trumped by Jesus.
Yeah. So.
So, we can finally talk about War for the Planet of the Apes. That's my number two. Unless it's your number one, Jesus.
No.
All right. Let's talk about War for the Planet of the Apes.
I can talk about something.
Yeah, that's my number two most anticipated movie of this summer. I am so excited to see where this franchise goes. Each movie for me has been a really pleasant surprise. Like, I went into the first expecting nothing. And it was great. And I went into the second expecting it to be as good as the first, and it was better. And I just, like, if they can keep amping it up, I'm really excited for it.
Yeah. Here's the thing. We've said this a million times on this podcast. Andy Serkis is and forever will be the greatest motion capture artist of all time.
Uh-huh.
What he's able to do with that character Caesar to bring life to something like that and make it so believable is nothing short of extraordinary. And I am so excited to see him square off against Woody Harrelson in this, because Woody Harrelson looks terrifying in this movie. I think he looks really good. The animosity that you can feel between these two characters just in the trailers has me, like, giddy with joy of what I can expect from this movie.
Exciting. I wonder, let's see, okay, again, you know I'm in the dark on a lot of this stuff, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Like, I haven't seen a single trailer for this. Somebody in the Summer Sum game that we'll be talking about here in a little bit, when they wrote down the War of the Planet of the Apes for, you know, whatever slot they were slotting it in, said War of the Planet of Woody Harrelson's Head. And I had no idea what that meant. And I was like, I'm sure that's hilarious, but I have no idea.
He's doing that thing that they do with army characters where they're constantly shaving with a blade.
With a knife.
Okay. And that's Woody Harrelson in this preview, shaving his head a lot.
I was what does Woody Harrelson have to do with anything?
I still haven't seen the second Apes movie yet, but I remember I loved the first one. Woody Harrelson has me pumped for this third one, so I'm gonna check the second one out soon.
I think Rise is still up there for me as my favorite more the than first Dawn. I think Rise is the first one, isn't it? And then Dawn
I always
is,
get it mixed up. But
yeah. Rise is the first one, yeah.
Yeah. I think I like Rise a little bit more. They're both phenomenal, so that's why I have really high expectations for this movie.
Yeah, I'm really
excited
about it.
I'm not mad at you at all for putting it your number two. I totally get it.
Yep, that is my number two. All right, we know Jesus' number two is Guardians.
Yes, we do.
So let's talk about Guardians. Go ahead.
Guardians is obviously, I think it's the big pick for number one for most people. I mean, this is pretty anticipated.
Yeah, it's interesting. None of us had it at number one, though,
which
for
is
our
interesting,
most anticipated.
Yeah. But I think it's gonna be a blast. I love it when you can get like the same exact crew back. I mean, you got James Gunn, you got the whole cast back, you got everybody's back. So I instantly love that right off the bat. I think the way they're marketing it is really fun. Kind of it being meta about being a sequel, because they're kind of like, you only get to save the galaxy twice. And it's like, so I like the dynamic that they're going for. And I think Guardians moving forward, especially since they announced number three already, is going to kind of be like a centerpiece for the next phase of Marvel going through. Because since we got Captain Marvel, I think a lot of it's going to be taking place in space. So I think I think this is going to set up a lot moving forward for the MCU. I think we're going to get more cosmic space-centric stuff moving forward.
If you look at the newest Thor trailer, that's definitely an indication of where they're heading.
And Thor, yeah.
My number two?
Yeah, what's your number two?
It, based solely on this one trailer.
I'm sorry, what? What's your number two?
It.
What? What?
It. Yeah. Oh, you who's on firsting?
I was like,
are you who's on firsting me?
I am. I'm who's on firsting you.
Okay. No, honestly, this. I thought the movie was going to be okay. After watching this trailer, I was like 100% on board. And the fact that it jumped all the way from, meh, it could be good, to my number two most anticipated movie says something about the performances I saw in this really quick trailer where not much is said. No. And I felt all of the tension and fear that I initially felt from the original miniseries and the book. That's a huge book, by the way. And this is going to be a two-parter as well. I don't know if you guys know that or not.
That's what I was going to bring up. I didn't know if you knew it was a two-parter.
Yeah, so the first book, or the first movie, I guess, is going to be when they're kids.
Mm-hmm.
And then the second book is when they're adults.
Yeah, it's supposed to take place like 20 years later, I think, will be the second one.
But, man, what I'm seeing from... Which Skarsgård?
It's Bill Skarsgård from Hemlock Grove, and that's why I've been so excited for this.
Like, I really don't like that show.
I love Hemlock. I'm one of the few that absolutely loves Hemlock Grove. Like, I love that show so much.
I think he would recommend it.
So
yeah, it sounds like it.
So I've been on board ever since Bill was cast for Pennywise.
Yeah, initially they were going to have Will Poulter, who was in, I think, Maze Runner. He was also in Revenant.
Kid with the eyebrows.
Eyebrow kid is what everybody knows him as. But, no, from what I'm seeing from this cast of kids and what they're doing in this trailer, I'm like, ooh, I am so on board. And Bill looks terrifying.
Looks terrifying. I love
terrifying.
And with these kids, you kind of get like a Stranger Things vibe, and not only one of the kids is in this movie.
Yeah.
But you do get like the main style one. Of Stranger Things vibe with it, so.
Yeah.
Cool.
I'm so stoked for that. Well, Aaron, we know what your number one is.
Yeah, you do.
You trumped me early on.
It is Dunkirk.
I get it.
I am so excited for, like I said, Christopher Nolan doing an original IP. Like, every time he does that, he hits it out of the park. The Prestige, Inception, Memento.
Memento,
you know,
Interstellar.
Interstellar. Like, I love this man's brain, and I love when he does that stuff. When he goes into Batman stuff, I'm like, you can kind of see, but he's like handcuffed. Like, I feel like when he gets into somebody else's universe, it handcuffs like his ability to think Escher, like, you know, on different levels. And so I'm excited to see, you know, kind of what Dunkirk brings. I know nothing about it.
Is he working with Jonathan on this one? Do you know?
I don't.
Okay.
Yeah.
I haven't seen a preview. I know nothing.
I mean, as we were talking in the pre-show, like, I mean, I've been watching a lot of Christopher Nolan movies for the first time. I mean, besides the Batman movies, in the past 5 months, I watched Memento, Interstellar, and Inception all for the first time. So it's like, as I keep watching, because at first I was never too excited for this one. It was a little too vague for me. And I'm not a big war movie person either. So I've always kind of been like, eh, but as I keep watching more Christopher Nolan movies, The Prestige is up next. So, like, as I keep watching more, I'm like, okay, Dunkirk could be something cool, because now I'm like, what's his angle on this war movie? Like, what's going to be the, you know, smart craziness? Like, what's going
to
happen?
Smart craziness. That's exactly the way to say it.
He's solo writing and directing this. He's not working with his brother.
Very nice. That's my number one. What about you?
My number one, we mentioned it at the beginning of the show, is Baby Driver.
Nice.
By Edgar Wright. It got moved up to the summer. It was originally, it got moved up 2 months, I believe. It was supposed to come out in October, I think. They moved it up because the trailer did really well. People are really excited for this. It's about a getaway driver with tinnitus, so he, like, makes a playlist. So apparently, like, the action scenes are choreographed to the music. So, I mean, I love Scott Pilgrim. Scott Pilgrim is one of my favorite movies ever.
Me too.
And music is very prominent in that with the action
scenes. Yeah, I was going to say, that's a good comparison.
If that's any indicator of what this movie's going to be like, this is Ansel Elgort, who hasn't gotten to do much since
I love Ansel Elgort.
I love him. He's fantastic. Yeah. So I'm excited. It's got a great cast with Jamie Foxx and John Hamm in it.
And Kevin Spacey.
And Kevin Spacey, yeah. This movie looks awesome. It looks really cool. It looks really sexy. It looks funny because, I mean, it is Edgar Wright. And this has been my number one anticipated movie for a while. And as soon as they moved up to the summer, I'm like, okay, this is gonna be good stuff.
Cool.
Totally get it.
And I think I know your number one.
Why don't you go ahead and say it?
Is it The Dark Tower?
It's The Dark Tower.
Yeah.
I'm getting my Dark Tower tattoo in a couple weeks. I'm excited. Everybody on this channel should know by now, The Dark Tower is my favorite thing of all time.
Yeah.
More than any other movie, book, television show, song,
or
game,
mustache.
Or mustache. I love The Dark Tower more than I do some people. So whenever I found out that they were actually going to be finally trying to realize this as a movie, I got giddy with joy. Now
you're nervous as all get out, though, right?
I can't be more nervous than this, which we're going to talk about later on, a specific like subgenre of making lists and stuff. I'll get it back into The Dark Tower. But yeah, Idris Elba going to be playing Roland Deschain, and you're going to have Matthew McConaughey as the Man in Black. There's been so many different theories as to what story it's going to be telling or something. If it's based on the first book, then pretty much what it's going to be is Idris Elba hunting down the Man in Black. That's going to be the whole movie, which it's a fascinating, like all the trials and tribulations that he goes through to try and find this guy. But I could not be more excited for this or more nervous.
Well, that'll do it. Those are our top five. You ready? You guys want to go into the subcategories here?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's start with the movie you've got your fingers crossed about. The one you think, man, if this is good, it could be really good for this summer. And let's go in reverse. Andrew, why don't you start this?
It's The Dark Tower.
That's what I thought.
I have to keep talking about it. This movie has to be good. It can't not be good. Oh, man. I need it to
be
good so bad.
Well, it can not be good.
Oh, it's...
Did you even notice in the chat somebody predicted yours before we even got to it?
Oh, did they really?
Spartan Knight said, all right, all together for Andrew's number one, The Dark Tower.
Yeah, good job, Spartan
Knight. BDG says, nobody picked Captain Underpants? Nope, sorry, BDG.
Passing on that one, even though it's the first epic movie. I almost had a Lego Ninjago as my number five because everything Lego movies have done so far.
Is that out in the summer? When's that come out?
That one comes out on September 22nd.
Okay, so technically very late summer, yes.
It is literally the last day of summer. But nice. That makes it a summer movie. But yeah, The Dark Tower, I had needed it to be good so bad.
You know what's interesting? I just thought of this. I guess you had Dunkirk on your list.
Uh-huh.
I was going to say all of our number ones, nobody else even had on their list. Like, neither of us had Baby Driver on our list. Neither of us had... You know, Dark Tower. I almost said Good Tower. The Dark Tower on our list, but you did have Dunkirk on yours.
Yeah.
Okay. So,
do you want me to switch out Dunkirk for a Lego Ninjago?
No, you're fine. You're fine. What about you, Jesus?
My fingers crossed. One is an interesting pick. It is All Eyes on Me. It is
nice.
The Tupac.
Yeah, yeah.
And the reason my fingers are crossed from it is because it's been very odd. Like, it's been very low key. It hasn't been talked about a whole lot. Definitely isn't the anticipation level of Straight Outta Compton was, you know, and it's a lot of the same producers and stuff that worked on Straight Outta Compton, but obviously not, you know, some of the other ones. And the actor that portrayed Tupac did appear in Straight Outta Compton. This is all in the hip hop cinematic universe.
So much like Tupac
and
Shakur. It is crazy.
He looks just like him, but the thing that has me nervous, he talks once in the entire trailer. Like, he does not speak. You don't see him do any of the performing. So that's why I'm like, there's a lot of flags for this movie. And like I said, it just hasn't really been anticipated the way Straight Outta Compton was. And you'd think it'd be the other way around. I mean, this is Tupac Shakur.
And you'd think if it was good, they'd definitely highlight that in the trailer to get people there.
Yeah, so it's like they dropped the trailer and they barely even like tweeted about it or anything. They just kind of like put it out there. So
was it? If I'm not mistaken, I think this was supposed to be a 2016 release too.
It was.
I think it's been pushed back a lot.
Yeah, it's gotten pushed back a lot. So, you know, I got my fingers crossed. I want it to be good, but there's lots of red flags.
I think I remember them.
It's a perfect
saying,
fingers crossed. Movie.
It really is. I was like, oh, I know exactly what I'm picking for this one.
I think, and I could be wrong, please do not quote me on this, but I think I remember hearing they wanted this movie to come out after Straight Outta Compton, so that's why it was pushed back.
Yeah.
Don't know if I buy it.
And it's also directed by Benny Boom, who is known for doing music videos, which, one, that makes me happy because he does a lot of hip-hop and rap music videos, so, I mean, he's very entrenched in the hip-hop world, but at the same time, this is only his third movie credit, so, I mean, there's, you know... that's an interesting caveat to it as well. So I don't know.
I would love that movie to be good too.
It to be good so bad.
You know, yeah. Straight Outta Compton came out in 2015. So
is it really?
Yeah. It was supposed to come out like in December. Because I remember looking at like my list of movies I needed to watch for awards. it was one of them that was kind of hovering on there, and then it just disappeared because they pushed it back.
Yeah, that's what it was. It's supposed to be December.
So, yeah. So, no, that's a great fingers crossed pick.
Well, look at how many times the Dark Tower has been pushed back. So,
it's nerve wracking, huh?
Yeah. It's supposed to come out 3 months ago.
My fingers crossed pick is The Mummy. Tom Cruise has made magic where there was no magic before, and my fingers are crossed that he can somehow pull this off. Because that could be a lot of fun, you know? Tom Cruise being Tom Cruise is always fun for me, but just the vibes I'm getting are that this, you know, this isn't going to be a, and again, I haven't seen any trailers or anything like this, but you know, just kind of the buzz is that it's not going to be all that great.
The trailers have been interesting, but right, Andrew?
Here's the thing, for me anyway. Every single time I see a Tom Cruise movie, I think, oh, that's going to be a piece of crap. It turns out to be phenomenal. First time I heard about Edge of Tomorrow, I thought, oh, that's going to be total garbage. Probably one of my favorite Tom Cruise movies and one of the best sci-fi movies of like the last 10 years.
Yeah.
It blew me away with how good that movie
was.
That's
what I'm saying.
This movie doesn't look good, so I'm waiting. And for the simple fact that they're trying to build a cinematic universe for, you know, the Universal monsters.
Right, yeah.
So
I think they're doing it in an interesting way with Russell Crowe's...
Mr. Hyde and Dr.
Mr.
Jekyll.
Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. So I think that'll be interesting. And, like, there's theories about Tom Cruise's character that I find interesting. I won't mention it to spoil Aaron.
Yeah.
Because it is a trailer thing. But there's a theory with his character, and I think it's kind of interesting. But I love the Brendan Fraser Mummy movies. Like, those movies,
I like the first one.
I like the second one, too. Scorpion, I really like the second.
Really?
No, the Scorpion. No, that's the...
Mummy 2, Scorpion.
Oh, yeah, then, no, I do love Mummy 2. Mummy 3 is even okay.
Which one was The Rock in?
He was in the Scorpion King, and right? He was in the Scorpion King movie.
Okay, ignoring the bad CGI on that, it's still a solid movie. And The Mummy 1 is great.
I have a question for you, Aaron.
Yeah.
You don't watch trailers at all. What do you know about this movie?
Yeah.
Tom Cruise is in it.
That's it.
Okay.
That's it. And it's relaunching the Mummy franchise as part of the expanded universe. Like, I know that stuff through news. But that's pretty much it.
Wow. So knowing what I know from the trailers and stuff, I'm going to be really fascinated whenever we're watching this movie. I want to get your... I'm going to be looking over every now and then.
Yeah.
That's
why I love it. I love to experience the stuff during the movie, you know, and just makes it fun for me. That's my fingers crossed. All right, let's move on to, let's do for me, but probably not for you. What's a movie coming out this summer that you think you'll like that a lot of people won't?
I got one because it came up in the chat, actually, but I have it in my notes. One that I think will be for me, but maybe not for everybody else, is American Assassin.
Okay.
It's again on that action level that I've really been digging on. I just watched The Raid for the first time the other day, too. So, like, it's right on this level of action that I really like. And at first I was watching the trailer. I was like, okay, this looks like every other Assassin spy movie, but then it's not. Michael Keaton comes in there, and it's got Dylan O'Brien from the Maze Runner series, who I think is a great actor. I think this could be his something that pushes him forward. This looks like it could be like a Nightwing audition almost, like, because he has like the long hair too. But American Assassin, it looks really cool. It looks really interesting. Don't really know too much about it. Also, just kind of came out of nowhere. I don't think it's going to be like great or anything, but for my movie sensibilities though, I was like, I think I'm going to dig this.
I know absolutely nothing about, like, when you said it, I didn't even know it was a movie. So
I just heard about like 2 days ago.
Aaron, what do you got?
For me, I've got Cars 3 in that slot. I think I'll end up loving Cars 3 in a lot of people just because the Cars franchise is kind of Pixar's stepchild. I think a lot of people won't enjoy it, but I have a feeling. I didn't like Cars 2. Is my least favorite Pixar movie.
Wow.
But Cars 1, I really enjoyed.
I think Cars 1 is really good.
And I think they're going to get back to some cool stuff.
I think Cars 1, yeah, this looks like it. They're going to be going back to the roots of, like, okay, he's back in the racing world. Like,
I just trust those storytellers. I trust them to figure out how to get that
Cars
back on
track.
Cars
2 is just such a weird departure. Like, yeah. It was real weird.
Yeah, it was an international spy movie with cars, and it didn't quite work for me.
Made no sense.
But, yeah.
Yeah.
So that's my one that I think I love that a lot of people don't like.
Yeah. For me, it's coming down between two movies. One of them I have a feeling you will like, and another one I have a feeling you will like. So I'm just going to pick one at random here. I'm going to go with a movie called The Wall.
Okay, tell me about
it. Which one's that one again?
So The Wall stars Aaron Taylor Johnson.
Okay.
And believe it or not, it stars John Cena.
Okay.
It's about, yeah, it's a one set movie. That's why I kind of like, it's kind of like a play, sort of. Two Marine snipers in Afghanistan are
that could be interesting.
Overseeing this this car that's just parked out in the middle of the desert, and John Cena is like, "All right, I'm gonna go and check it out, see what's going on." He gets out there, he gets shot by a sniper. His partner can't get to him because he's still alive. John Cena's still alive, and his partner can't get to him to save him because he's pinned down by this sniper. All of a sudden, Aaron Taylor Johnson's radioing for backup. Turns out that the other sniper, the Afghani sniper who's trying to kill him, has hacked his comms. So the whole movie is a conversation between Aaron Taylor Johnson and the Afghani sniper, with him pleading
to
go
and save. I feel like that was a whole bunch of spoilers just then. Like, that was like the whole plot.
Yeah, but the whole movie is basically the premise of him trying to plead to save his friend.
Wow.
I think it looks amazing. And the fact that John Cena is in it is like, what?
See, if it would have been somebody other than John Cena, I would have been in. But just like I'm imagining this scene of a desert with John C. Reilly, or not John C.
John
Reilly.
C. Reilly.
John C. Reilly is a Marine sniper.
Hold on. Let's put John C. Reilly in this movie.
Can we please have somebody named John Cena Reilly? Like, that would be the best Saturday Night Live character ever.
But no, I'm imagining John Cena like laying in the dirt, like, but in his normal John Cena clothes. In this movie.
We're probably not going to see that movie this week because there's a bunch of movies coming out that week that are like more high profile.
But it's called The Wall.
The Wall, yeah.
Very nice.
The other movie was called Wakefield, which is a Bryan Cranston movie.
It's about the pitcher, Tim Wakefield?
Yes.
Okay, good. All right, on to the one.
It's not really.
Of course not.
I need to say
that
real quick.
Okay, yes. You were yes-anding me, and you did very well.
Yes, I am.
let's do the one that you will. What is this? Oh, this one is for other people. They'll probably love it, but you're not going to.
Oh. Yeah,
got a good one for that?
Yeah. Do you want me to go first on this
one?
Sure,
go ahead.
I will go with Valerian and the City of a Thousand Planets.
You think a lot of people are going to like that?
I do, because I know that there are a lot of...
I mean, I love Fifth Element.
See, here's the thing. Fifth Element is good. I think it's the fact that it is so overhyped that makes me just... I don't get why people love that movie so much.
Yeah. I love that movie. I just noticed Aaron's figurines.
Yeah, he's got the Chris Tucker one over
Fifth
there.
Element.
Bruce Willis one right next to him as well?
There's four of them over there.
I saw them all.
Those are technically Danae's, by the way.
Really?
She's a big fan of Fifth Element, too. So.
See, whenever it comes to Luc Besson, the movie I always go for is Leon the Professional. I think the movie's way better.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that... this movie could be good, but I just see so much like Jupiter Ascending in this movie that I'm really not looking forward to.
Jupiter Ascending, by the way, not a good movie. Just in case.
Spoiler alert, the movie's terrible.
Yeah.
Was that a Wachowski sisters movie?
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah,
that's a Wachowski. So this one we'll get into a little bit more with box office, but I think Wonder Woman is one that I have an interesting relationship with DC, you know, and I think Wonder Woman has the best shot of being their best one so far.
Yeah.
Easily. I mean, it's very its own thing. It's a solo movie. People loved her. I think she's one of the strong points of BVS.
Part of BVS.
So, I mean, I think this movie has signs to be the best DC movie so far. But at the same time, that's not saying much for me. I'm very much on the fence about anything DC now, especially I'm very on the fence with Justice League. Everybody else has been pretty hyped after the trailer. I'm a little bit on the fence on that too. So,
well,
I won't like Wonder Woman. I'm not sure.
How could you be anything but on the fence with DC? Like, what is the good movie that makes you think? You know
I'm
what I mean?
You,
like,
there are hardcore fans out
there.
There
are BVS apologists out there.
No, of course there are. There are apologists for every movie, but I mean, I think for the most part, at least the three of us in this room can agree that they haven't made a great movie yet. So, and some of us would argue they haven't made a good movie yet.
I could say they made a good
movie. Man of Steel was good.
Yeah,
I wouldn't say Man of Steel. I'd say
I think
BVS
a lot of people
extended.
Forget Man of Steel is actually in this DC universe.
Yeah, I know.
People
true.
Look at BVS as
but
like
Superman
the beginning.
But Superman is wrong in that movie, too. Like, I mean, it just yeah. it's not Superman.
You don't like Henry Cavill as Superman?
I think if they would give him some of the actual characteristics of the Superman that I knew and loved, maybe.
I think if they would have did Man of Steel exactly the same, except it be Brandon Routh's version of Superman, and not even just him as an actor, but like that version from
right,
Superman Returns,
yeah.
I think that is a very good Superman. And I say BVS, the Ultimate Edition, is a good movie. I won't say it's great, but it has to be the Ultimate Edition,
though. Long.
It is long, but it does make it better, though. It does make the movie a lot better.
I'm still waiting to watch the released footage of the Nick Cage Superman movie.
We can at least all agree
that... Have you watched the documentary?
No, not yet. I want to, though.
It's amazing.
Is it?
The death of Superman Lives, What Happened is the name of the documentary.
Is it good?
It's phenomenal. Like, cool. They get to talk to Tim Burton. You see a concept art of Nick Cage's Superman. Like, it's real cool.
We can all at least agree on the fact that Academy Award winning Suicide Squad is a piece of trash, right? Like, that's...
You picked that.
I did.
I blame you.
Fault, that category was a terrible category.
Star Trek should have won.
Okay. Yeah. It was not a good category, but I think Killer Croc was enough to get Suicide Squad that award.
It was CGI.
No, it wasn't. Killer Croc was makeup.
No, a lot of that was CGI.
Mm-mm.
That's practical.
That was all practical.
Practically awful. Okay. For mine, I'm going with Pirates. I think a lot of people will love Pirates movies because
they're
still being made.
They're still being
some
made.
Reason.
Somebody loves them, and I haven't liked a Pirates movie since the first one. And I do not understand them anymore. I don't get how they're attractive.
The Chinese market for those pirate movies is what's keeping it alive.
Oh, what is it, man? Like. They're dark, they're depressing, they're gross.
They're dumb.
They just seem very messy.
Yeah.
And then,
they're not lit well at all.
Oh, no, just... not at all. And this new one, they have Javier Bardem in the just weirdest looking CGI, like, on the planet.
Oh, yeah.
Like, it is so odd looking.
When I saw the teaser for this movie, I'm like, wow, this could actually be the first good Pirates movie since the first one. Then they released the full trailer, and I was like, oh, never mind.
It looks so weird. Why? Yeah, I was going to mention that more in the box office.
But I think a lot of people
like,
love it. Loves
them.
Yeah, for sure.
It's the international market. I'm not even joking. That's keeping those movies alive.
Well, and that's a legit part of the market right now.
They do not do well domestically.
Well, speaking of that, we're going to make our domestic predictions coming up next. But before we get there, a big thank you to our Patreon supporters. Two new supporters since last week. Welcome to Damien, who pledged. Thank you, Damien.
Thank you, Damien.
Isaac pledged as well. Thank you, Damien and Isaac. Really appreciate you coming on board and supporting Studio DNA. That is the podcast network that SifPop lives on. And so the entire network is supported by people just like you. And when you support, by the way, you get access to all the bonus episodes and you have your own dedicated Patreon podcast feed. That means you subscribe to a different feed that has all the exclusive pre-shows that pop up in it, all that kind of fun stuff. So if you're interested, go to patreon.com/studioDNA and you can support there. And thank you so much for doing that. All right, on to the Summer Sum Game. This is where we're going to predict which movies will make the most dollars domestically over the course of the summer. Now, all the rules and the details are at the link to fill out your picks. If you want that link, best place to get it is probably to follow me on Twitter, Aaron Dicer, and I've tweeted about it recently. I'm sure I will tweet it out again as we get to the deadline. The deadline is May 3rd because Guardians comes out shortly after that. So we will make the deadline May 3rd to get your picks in. All you got to do is pick your top 10 in order, and then you'll get certain amount of points for getting them exactly dead on. You'll get more points if they're just, you know, one space. So if you pick a movie to come in at number 5 and it comes in at number 4, then you will get, you know, a certain number of points. And if it's on the top 10 at all, you'll get a certain number of points.
Oh, okay.
So everybody picks 1 through 10 and 3 wild cards. And the wild cards are a way to go. If this makes the top 10, you'll get some points. kind of idea. So those are the general rules. You can check them out again in detail at the link. But I thought it'd be fun for the three of us, since we're all playing, to kind of go through our lists. And this time, instead of going round robin, we'll just go one at a time, kind of explain our thoughts and picking our list, and work our way through them from number 1 to number 10 in our three wild cards. And Devon, you want to start us off?
Yeah. Do you want me to go from bottom up, or...
You know, tell the story however you want to tell it.
So we're picking 10?
Yes.
Okay.
Okay. So I will do my... I'll do my 1 through 10. I'll do it. I'll start off at number 1 and then go through. And then I'll do wild cards at the end.
Sure. And if you want to talk about, you know, like why you think, that kind of stuff.
Yeah. Some of them I'll elaborate on. Some of them are just kind of like, that's where they're at. So number one, it was very tough because Marvels could be competing with themselves, I believe. So my number one and two are both Marvel. Number one, I got Spider-Man Homecoming. And Ooh. The reason I have that number one is I think just because it's Spider-Man. I mean, Spider-Man is arguably the most popular Marvel character. And it's finally with the other Marvel movies now. We've already gotten a glimpse of them in Civil War, and people absolutely loved them in Civil War. I mean, and just for the fact that this is his first solo movie with Marvel, I mean, this movie is going to do, like, stupid numbers. I think, like, people don't understand how much money it's going to make, especially with a weak summer schedule compared to most years. I think Spider-Man Homecoming is going to just dominate. And but like I said, it's competing with another Marvel property. Number two would be Guardians 2, which I debated putting at number one. Guardians 2, it was a surprise, and it did super well. It was a great movie. Like, it did well financially and critically. Guardians 2, it's going to be good, and word of mouth is going to have it hanging around for a long time. Like, I think that's how Guardians could do really well. Like, it's going to hang around for like 6 weeks in the top five, I think.
Number three?
Number three, unfortunately, but it's another situation. These movies keep getting made for a reason. And even domestically, Transformers.
You're
going to
say Transformers, aren't you?
Transformers.
That's not a bad pick.
It's a juggernaut.
They make so much money.
It's a money-making machine.
My brain is like, please stop making this much money.
Please stop it, but if they won't. And people, there is this hardcore group of people that are just like, I don't care how dumb it is. It's robots destroying each other. It's still Transformers. I don't care. I'm seeing the same ways. Like, I especially thought the last one was going to be the first one that didn't do very well. You know, no more Shia LaBeouf, and it was all this other new stuff, and it's arguably the worst one, and it did, like, the second best out of any of the Transformer movies. It makes no sense to me.
Number four?
Number four, I got Wonder Woman. I think, regardless, I mean, all the DC movies have still done really well. This is Wonder Woman. It's the first solo female superhero movie. That's going to be huge. I mean, it's going to be huge. We're going to get a lot of kids because a lot of parents are going to be bringing for hopefully a new role model. You know, I think
a lot of
Wonder
daughters.
Woman's going to be very socially significant as well, not only just in the movie aspect.
Yeah.
Number five, kid movies usually do really well in the summer blockbuster. You know, kids are out of school and there's not a lot of them this year. And Despicable Me 3
is your number five?
Is my number five.
Okay.
I think it's going to rule the kids category as far as animated movies go.
Number six,
I got War of the Planet of the Apes.
Okay.
Four. I think it's gonna be really good. These movies have done really well in the box office in the past. It's a big dramatic epic, you know. It kind of straddles the line of being a fun popcorn movie but a very serious good movie at the same time.
Okay.
Number seven, I'm being very hopeful here, but I got Baby Driver.
Oh, wow. Yeah, that's being pretty hopeful.
Edgar Wright movies tend to not do super well in the box office, but I think
domestically,
Edgar Wright has gotten to a point though now, like, he's very established. People know who he is. He has this cult following of the Cornetto trilogy of Scott Pilgrim. I think people are really excited for this one. He's been working on this film, like, he's been talking about it for like 4 years. Like, he's been working on this for a long time. This seems like a very big passion project for him.
I will tell you this. If Baby Driver hits, you're going to score a lot of points for that pick.
Because I will probably be the only
nobody
one.
Else is probably picking that. So,
I'm being hopeful there. But
you kind of have to make a couple of those picks, right? You know, to distinguish
yourself.
I think
you can make a splash.
Do you?
Nah, you don't have to.
And like I said, especially with the rest of the summer slate, I think it could hop in there.
All right, next.
Number eight, I got Baywatch. I think that's going to be the comedy that kind of steals the summer.
Okay.
You know, we talked about it earlier. I think it can be a surprise hit, especially if the word of mouth is good. It can hang around for a few weeks. Number nine, I got Dunkirk, just because it's Nolan, it's original, and not much is known about it. It's kind of an unknown, but at the same time, I think it's going to do really well. Nolan movies tend to do pretty good.
Okay.
And then number 10, I got Pirates, because, I mean, it makes money. Even though it is still mainly the China market, at the same time, these movies are still being made. It's, what, number five now of this franchise? Like, it's still going strong for a reason. So I think we'll round out the top 10 for the summer.
Number four, too many.
Yeah. And then my three wild cards real quick. I got Snatched. That's the Amy Schumer movie with her mom.
Yep.
Again, we don't have a lot of comedies this summer. And people like Amy Schumer. I don't like Amy Schumer all that much. But people seem to like her. I think people will go see that movie. Another wild card, I got The Mummy. Because this movie is an enigma. I don't know what it's going to do. And what could happen. Like, this is the definition of a wild card for me.
Yep.
And then my last wild card has not been mentioned at all today, is Guy Ritchie's King Arthur movie. He did Man from U.N.C.L.E., and that got pretty good reception. This King Arthur looks really weird and interesting, and it's kind of crazy. It like hops time periods. I don't know. It could be.
Well, it feels very Guy Ritchie.
Guy Ritchie, and this could be a fun action romp. You got Charlie Hunnam in there. He's hot. I think King Arthur could be a wild card that could mix some stuff up.
Just so we're clear, when I say it feels very Guy Ritchie, I mean what you're explaining feels very Guy Ritchie. Obviously, I haven't seen it, so I don't know. But that sounds like
this is 100% a Guy Ritchie movie. That is the one thing I know for sure about King Arthur.
All right, Andrew, give us your 1 through 10 and three wild cards.
I'll start with my three wild cards. So number one on my wild cards is The Emoji Movie. Just because kids movie, there's only a couple of them this year, and I think that it has a pretty good cast. Everybody and their mother uses emojis besides me, I think. So I think, you know, you're going to get a lot of people out there to go and see that. Number two on my wild cards, I actually do have Dunkirk. I don't think that Christopher Nolan's R-rated war movie is going to be as big of a draw domestically because, A, it's not a domestic war. I think that whenever you take American soldiers out of it domestically, you're not going to get a lot of people, unfortunately, who care about it enough to watch it. Not saying it's going to be a bad movie. The movie's going to be beyond brilliant, but I think that whenever you're talking about domestic gross, you're not going to see the big hit there. Number three, like I said, pirate movies are not doing all that good domestically, but potentially this could be one where you see a whole bunch of money coming in.
So you have it as a wild card?
A wild card, yeah.
All right.
Now moving on to my number 10. I have Alien Covenant.
Mentioned that yet.
I don't have that many R-rated movies in my list because they don't tend to do all that great domestic, or, you know, for a box office.
Right.
But I think the Alien franchise itself is strong enough that you're going to see a good number of people. And whenever you have people in this, like James, help me out here. Danny McBride is something, and James Franco. Those are two I was trying to think of. We also have like Michael Fassbender, who's been in Prometheus, and he's making a return here. I think the Alien franchise is strong.
Is Rebecca Ferguson in that one?
I believe so. Yeah.
And then in the biggest thing, you got Ridley Scott coming back too. I think that's the biggest thing for it.
Yeah. Well, he also did Prometheus, and look what he did there.
So, this is still Alien in the title. Now that was almost one of my wild card picks.
How much did Prometheus make? Do you remember? Go ahead and keep going through your list. I'll look it up.
Okay. Number nine, I have Baywatch. Like Desus was saying, I think that, you know, you got some comedies this year, and I think that Baywatch is going to be a huge hit because it does feel so much like 21 Jump Street. A lot of people saw those movies as hilarious, and they're going to put their money right here as well. Number eight, I do have The Mummy. I think that you're going to see some people. They don't watch the trailer. They just see The Mummy starring Tom Cruise.
That's all they need.
That's all they need. You're going to see a lot of people going to see The Mummy.
Okay.
Number seven, War for the Planet of the Apes. This franchise speaks for itself and what it can do as far as box office and critically. People love this franchise. It's going to make some money.
Okay.
Coming up next, number six, Wonder Woman. People want to see a good DC movie, and I think a lot of people are convinced this is going to be the first one.
Okay.
Number five, Cars 3. Kids movie.
Did you mention Cars 3 even in your top 10 or wild cards?
I think I meant to put it in my wild cards. It was going to be one of my wild cards.
Well, too late now.
Yeah, this movie's going to make money. Because as far as I think Cars makes more money on products than any other Pixar movie. Is that right?
Yeah, it's their most merchandising.
That's what I'm trying to think of. They sold more merchandise for it. Coming up after that, I have Despicable Me 3 at number 4. These movies. Minions make money.
Yeah.
Minions make money. It's crazy.
Minions.
Number 3. Ugh, Transformers. almost got sick.
Moving on quickly.
Spider-Man. Nice. Spider-Man in my number 2.
And
we had the our top 5 was really similar.
Well, yeah, they're very similar.
All 3 of us. Once you hear mine, you'll hear how similar.
But people are really excited that Marvel is making a Spider-Man movie.
Yeah.
People were really excited and impressed with what Tom Holland was able to do. And then you have him in a movie with Michael Keaton and Robert Downey Jr. It's going to print money. But I don't think there is any movie this year that's going to make more money, the summer anyway. Besides, I know Star Wars at the end of the year, that's going to be the highest
grossing
of the year.
Star Wars will be the highest grossing movie of the year. But,
until then, it's going to be Guardians.
Yeah.
I think Guardians will be the number one grossing because it's the original Guardians is one of the highest grossing movies of all time. And people loved it. So whenever you're coming out with a sequel, this is going to destroy at the box office.
Yeah. Very nice. My picks are very similar to both of yours.
Well, that's not good.
It says a lot about this summer, though, as well.
There's some minor differences. I also had the Emoji Movie in my wild cards. Okay. I think it's going to be a surprise hit. I think it's going to do gangbusters at the box office.
Mm. Oh, really?
I don't know. It's one of those movies that just, I don't know. It sounds so stupid just as a concept, and yet I think... It's memorable. Stupid is memorable sometimes, and I think people are going to know it's coming, and they're going to get a joy in their spirit of this is happening and it's hilarious.
Did Angry Birds make a lot of money domestically?
And that's what I was going to bring up. Angry Birds was around for a week, it was in and out of the theaters.
Yeah, but Angry Birds was also
3 years late.
Yeah, it was. If Angry Birds had come out 3 years earlier, totally different story. So I Emoji Movie, Alien Covenant was a wild card for me, and The Mummy. Those are my 3 wild cards.
Okay.
Number 10, Dunkirk. Number 9, Pirates. Number 8, Wonder Woman. Number 7, War for the Planet of the Apes. Number 6, Baywatch. I think I had Baywatch higher than you guys.
Yeah, I had it at 9.
I really think it's going to be a hit comedy. Number 5, Transformers. I think I had Transformers lower than you guys did.
Yeah, we both had it at number 3.
I'm just hoping people are sick of it by now.
Stop seeing these movies, guys. Please.
If we could have... I didn't know. I wanted to make sure you said starting in May, we're going to start this list.
Yes.
Because I didn't know if we were able to put Fast 8 in this list.
No.
Okay.
It doesn't technically count for our contest.
Okay.
So, Transformers at number 5. Then I had Despicable Me at number 4, because you're right, it's going to make oodles of money.
Mm-hmm.
As is, I believe, Cars, which I had at number 3.
Woo.
And then Spider-Man at number 2 and Guardians at number 1. So, very similar in so many ways. But I think I have my hopes pinned on Cars making a ton of money, because I think I have it higher than most people will.
I think Cars 3 is going to do more internationally than will domestic.
And Transformers making a little less money than hopefully people think, and Baywatch making more money than people think. I think if those 3 things come true, I might have a chance.
You have a dream list of what you... Actually, your dream list wouldn't even have Transformers in there at all.
Yeah, I was going to say, Transformers would not show up in my dream list. If you would like to play, we'd love to have you along. Check out the link at my Twitter. We've already got, I think, 15 entries already. So
I have not put mine in yet.
Yeah, neither of you two are included in that. Other gurus are included. Barrett from CinemaSins has already got his in. You've got, I should say, from the SinCast and CinemaSins. And then John Paula, who was on last week, has his picks in. So some of the gurus also have picks in as well. So it's going to
be
fun.
Today.
So absolutely. So again, you can check out the link at my Twitter. It's one of those complicated links with a bunch of random numbers and symbols, and I'm not going to repeat it here on the podcast. So
colon.
Yeah, exactly. Let's move on to our Sift Quest for today. Welcome to your Sift Quest for the week. Each week we'll venture forth together on a quest for answers. If you have a burning pop culture question, need an argument settled, or have a cultural conundrum, simply tweet me at Aaron Dicer or email us at feedback@siftpop.com. Today's Sift Quest was launched by Neil via email. Here's the question Neil asks. With social media and podcasts, we know so much more about our pop culture heroes today than ever before. What former pop culture icon do you wish lived today so you could hear them interviewed or see their posts? What do you guys think?
I had a couple, but I think my biggest one would have been Stanley Kubrick.
He was online,
I think
yeah.
Good choice.
I think his social media game would have been great. But at the same time, I think, you know, like you said, you know more about these people through social media. And, I mean, I just want to know how his mind works.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, he's not my favorite director, but at the same time, he's my most respected director, though. Like, I think he's done more for cinema than people really realize. He was always ahead of his time as well. So I think that's a big reason to have him in it. I think he would have been a blooming social media star. We would have learned, you know, so many of the intricacies and like the cool fun facts behind some of his movies and stuff. I think it'd be really cool. I think he'd do an awesome podcast as well. I think he could host a podcast just talking to other movie directors. I think that would be phenomenal. I think that'd be something he would do. So I want Stanley Kubrick around.
Very cool. Andrew?
First one, Freddie Mercury.
Oh, good choice.
He would have been an amazing social media to listen to. I think he would have killed. It would have been so good. Another somebody that I would have loved to see on social media is Lucille Ball.
Yeah, that's a good choice, too.
I think we wouldn't need Wendy's Twitter. She would be Wendy's Twitter. The smart alecky stuff that, I don't know if you follow Wendy's on Twitter.
Yeah, they're epic.
I think she would be that Twitter.
Hashtag Nugs for Carter.
Yeah. And another one would be Jimmy Stewart.
Oh, interesting.
Can you just imagine Jimmy Stewart with a Twitter? And whenever I imagine Jimmy Stewart with Twitter, I imagine him as like a young, like preteen girl on Twitter. Like, I'm going to need a cup of coffee while I'm waiting in line for my cup of coffee. Hashtag Starbucks, hashtag long lines.
Nice.
I think he would kill it. Because he was just that kind of guy, you know? He was just a funny man. And just hearing him just on Twitter every now and then would have been brilliant.
Nice.
What about you? Who do you got?
What I put was on Twitter, I would have loved to have seen Alfred Hitchcock on Twitter.
I imagined you would.
I think he would be really fun just to kind of see, because he was always about efficiency and being pithy. And I think he would have owned Twitter in many ways. Podcast wise, I would have loved to have heard a podcast by Orson Welles. Like, you know, just exploring his brain and what he thought about movies and
the
that
voice.
Kind of stuff. Yeah. That would have been fun. And then Instagram and Snapchat, Cary Grant, I think, would have had a really fun Instagram/Snapchat account. He just seems like, you know, the guy that was doing everything and was at all the parties and that
kind
of stuff.
Can I throw out another one I just thought
sure,
of?
Yeah, sure.
Another one who his Instagram would have been on point, I think, but he also would have been one of those reluctant social media stars, like who doesn't really try to be famous on social media, but people are just like, they get it. Marlon Brando. Brando on Twitter and Instagram would just be, because I mean
it would have been nuts.
We know how much he did not care about anything,
right? Like, yeah
he was him, and
it would have been
insane. Like, his social media would blow up and he wouldn't even try to.
Good stuff and a great question. Thank you, Neil, for that question.
It was
we
a good
do
question.
Appreciate it. If you want to launch a Sift quest of your own, just hit us up at the Twitter or email us feedback@siftpop.com. Let's do some buried treasure. What's that one thing in pop culture that you wish other people would go check out? Can be any area of pop culture. Andrew, why don't you kick us off?
Starting off with a movie, foreign language film from France. I've loved this movie for many years, but not a lot of people have seen it, so I need people to go and see this movie. It's called The Untouchables. They're remaking this movie with Kevin Hart and Bryan Cranston. Don't know how I feel about that. But The Untouchables itself is basically the story of a very wealthy man who is paralyzed from the neck down, who needs an assisted living person to come help him. He hires this young guy from, I guess, what you could technically call the French projects, even though I think he's a little bit better off than that. But their stories of one man's wealthy journey, but not being, you know, socially, you know, likable, while this other man is very unwealthy, but everybody seems to love him, and how they learn from one another. They both show each other different experiences that they would never would have done in their lives. Beautiful story, makes me cry every single time I watch it. Can't recommend it enough.
Did you say The Untouchables?
Intouchables.
Intouchables. I was like,
I was about to say, I was like, wait,
that doesn't sound like The Untouchables at all.
No. Well, technically, the Bryan Cranston remake coming out is called Untouchables. The Untouchables.
Okay, is that a remake of the De Niro film, or
no.
is that a remake of The Intouchables?
It's a remake of The Intouchables.
This is so confusing.
I know. The movie I am recommending here is called The Intouchables, I-N-Touchables.
Okay, this will all go in our eventual Abbott and Costello movie routine somewhere. So, what about you, Jesus?
So, there's a movie on Netflix right now, and I know YouTube won't care as much for it because you guys aren't as big horror people as I am. So, I'm a big horror person. And I think especially like when you're looking for a movie to watch on Netflix, like you might have parameters. Like what if you're just trying to catch a short movie you want to watch real quick? And, you know, finding movies on Netflix is a science. So there's a movie. It's a horror movie and horror fans out there will love it. It's called The Eyes of My Mother. And it's I recommend both of you guys check it out, though. It is a horror movie and it's very brutal and intense at times, but at the same time, I've never seen a movie so gorgeous, and it's like one of these movies, like what's going on in it, you're just like, why is this movie so beautiful to watch? I won't really spoil too much about it. It's just it's a short coming of age movie, and it's shot in black and white. It has this amazing score to it, and it's just it's kind of a revenge movie a little bit. It's a brisk hour and 15 minutes. Like I love watching long movies, but at the same time, I know like when you're on a time crunch, you just want to watch something real quick, throw this movie on and have no expectations going in, and you're gonna have a very interesting experience. But it's a very phenomenal movie, though.
I've been wondering about it. I actually got the screener for it during award season, and
it's good.
And so I've got it in my screener pile of stuff I haven't, you know, seen, because I get, you know, hundreds of screeners during award season, so I don't get to watch everything, but I'll take that to heart.
The storytelling in it is fantastic.
Eyes of My Mother.
Okay. Has a really cool poster, too. Like, everything about the movie, the aesthetic on it, it's really cool.
I would like to recommend for my buried treasure the movie that we talked about during the pre-show, Gifted. Since we're not doing a full review on it, I just want to throw it out there. It's really good. And if you're looking for an emotionally engaging drama and a story about a mathematical genius, it's really interesting. It was really fun. And so I'd recommend it. It was awesome.
Very nice.
That's it. We did it, guys. We made a podcast.
Woo!
A super-sized summer preview podcast.
Lists on lists on lists.
These lists that we made will make my list of top lists we've ever made. Yeah. It's just, those were some good lists.
Good list.
Thanks so much for joining us today. Sif Pop is part of the Studio DNA Podcast Network. You can find out more about other live and later shows on the network by following the feed at Mixlr.com/StudioDNA. That's MIXLR.com/StudioDNA. Huge thanks again to today's guru, Devon, being with us.
Thank you so much.
Shoot out some plugs, man. Shoot out some plugs.
Oh, yes. Definitely check me out on Deezus Take the Real. That's my podcast. It's a late night talk show movie podcast. Both of you guys have been on it.
Mm-hmm.
It's good fun. So check that out. I also am a host on another podcast network, Core Temp Arts Podcast Network. They have a podcast called TV at My Brain, and it's a podcast where all the different hosts like pick a show and do weekly recaps of it. So you get whatever show you're watching right now, we probably do recaps of it, and I do iZombie. iZombie is one of my favorite shows on TV, so if you want to check me out over there, do that as well, and on Twitter at Deezus12, Instagram Deezus.12 as well.
Awesome. Much love and gratitude to our Patreon supporters as well, who give monthly to make this show and other shows on the network possible. Support starts at $3 a month. Comes with some pretty fun perks. You can find out more info at patreon.com/studioDNA. There's lots of ways to connect with us here at the podcast. You can hit up SoundCloud. You can tweet at us. You can leave a comment at iTunes or a rating there as well. Or you can email us, feedback@siftpop.com. And finally, if you are having a good time listening to this podcast and you have somebody you know that loves movies, I'm guessing they'll probably like this podcast as well. Would you please let them know about it? And that listening is much easier than dropping 30 pounds to get into swimsuit shape. No spoiler chat this week. Since we didn't do a movie, we won't be talking spoilers, but we should be back next week with some talk on some movie or something or else until Guardians come out. Everybody's scared to throw out movies, so there's not a lot coming out.
Yeah. I get it.
It's been a slow month. Like, it's been sad.
Maybe we'll talk summer TV. There are a lot of new TV shows that have just started, so maybe we'll talk some of our
Fargo started.
Yep, Fargo started up.
American Gods.
Better Call Saul started
soon.
Up. Oh. Mystery Science Theater started up. So maybe we'll talk about some of that stuff. But either way, we'll see you back next week.
Bye. I've had a piece of oregano stuck between my teeth since
Did
I had
get
that.
It?
I got it just now.
Nice!
Yeah.
Well done, Andrew.
It's the
Victory.
Little wins.
No,
it's the
little wins. There are very few things that feel better than getting something that's been stuck in your teeth for a while finally out. It's always popcorn for me. It's always if I happen to eat popcorn.
Bacon for me.
Is it bacon?
Bacon.
Roast. Pot man. Roast for me. Pot roast is the worst.
Yeah, you get a string of meat stuck between your teeth or something. But then when it finally comes out, it's like freedom.
But no, I had an oregano kernel stuck in my teeth. But
it's like Mel Gibson in Braveheart. Freedom!
I'm being held prisoner by this tiny, tiny piece of flake.
Being gutted by oregano.
Yeah.